Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
And we're keeping this going with the conversation now around insurance crime. You've heard us here on the show talk about Rosemary time and time again. It's a key documentary that's been shared on Showmax, and Rosemary Ndlovu. It covers her story as a police officer, or rather HR professional within the South African Police Service at some point, who essentially took out a wide variety of funeral and life cover on her loved ones and family members, then masterminding the killing of these particular family members and subsequently claiming the insurance cover on these individuals for her financial benefit. A psychopathic serial killer is what she's been described as within her story. So we thought to revisit this by speaking to the CEO of the Insurance Crime Bureau to really get some perspective on how prevalent this continues to be in a market like South Africa, and even with the full understanding of how this does typically get executed through the Rosemary Ndlovu story, have the right contingency measures been put in place to minimize the threat of insurance fraud? Garth de Klerk joins us now, CEO of the Insurance Crime Bureau. Garth, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for your patience and participation, sir.
Good evening, and thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here tonight.
A delight to speak to you. Firstly, I must say, I think you have a very intriguing job and a very intriguing institution that you lead, because it's not just about understanding the role, function and purpose of insurance, but investigating it from a fraud and crime point of view certainly comes with a heightened level of knowledge and technical ability that must be required.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a very interesting job. It's sad that we need such an active role in the South African society, because we live in a very physical environment. So a lot of the work that we do involves investigations into physical crimes, such as murder. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic to see the insurance industry coming together and investing in a central community like the Insurance Crime Bureau.
Mm-hmm. Very important. And I can imagine since your establishment back in 2008, there's been many a case that you've come across, both in the short-term insurance environment and long-term. But perhaps for this conversation, we'll keep it to the long-term insurance space, just to follow up on the prevalence of fraud that does take place here, especially in context of the Rosemary Ndlovu story. One would assume that false deaths, beneficiaries, information being fabricated, is something that might not be common, but what are we seeing currently in the environment in South Africa?
Yeah, I don't think it's very common. I think that what we can see in the South African environment is that crime is common. You know, we see an extraordinary amount of murders and physical crimes per day. And financial crime is not alone in that, you know. So we've seen for the first time now, digital fraud is starting to exceed financial crime. But financial crime is worth billions of rands per year in an environment where the economy is down, people are desperate, unemployment is high. They are looking for unique ways in order to fund their lifestyles. And unfortunately, one of the methods they're turning to is murder for money and looking to abuse financial products.
Mm. And this is a concern because it's fundamentally, I'm assuming, driven by people who know how the system works and perhaps have found ways to manipulate it to their benefit and for their financial gain. What have we seen here? Because looking at some of the reports, it seems as though it's key individuals who typically interact with insurers here.
Definitely. You know, we are finding that the average profile of the individual is somebody that is relatively well educated, that is knowledgeable, often in a position of power, as Rosemary was. But at the same time, you know, you have to take a look at the bigger picture here. You know, if you go back to the 1930s, Daisy DeMarco was the first serial killer that was registered in South Africa, where she killed her husband for £100. So this is not something that's new, and it's not something that's going to disappear overnight, where people have the opportunity to abuse other people for financial gain. They will do so. So we're just looking for the best ways to continue to mitigate the risk around these types of fraud.
I just want to go back to that example, and it almost seems as though there's always an interpersonal relationship there, whether it's married couples or partners, or even family members. Is that typically, I guess, the profile of the accused or fraudulent partner that we see in terms of your cases?
I would say yes, definitely. We have seen that there is most likely some type of relationship between the accused and the victim. We are seeing other relationships where there are employers that are taking out cover on their employees. We saw the SANDF case not so long ago. But people that are in a position of authority are able to take out these policies, which is not necessarily illegal, if I could use inverted commas. What is illegal is to murder somebody and benefit from that policy in a fraudulent manner.
And maybe let's talk through the different layers of fraud. And typically, it starts off with, I guess, identity fraud, or the falsification of documents and signatures to seem as though you're giving the victim, or the victim has agreed to have this kind of life insurance taken out on them.
Yes, it definitely starts with that impersonation. It goes through, from the impersonation to the actual fraud of taking out the false policies, then monitoring and managing those policies to a point where the policy will mature and would then pay out a benefit if there was a death. In some cases, unnatural deaths pay more than natural deaths. The people know the policy wording. So, they will arrange for the suitable method of death in order to benefit to the highest extent from the policy payouts.
This is quite scary because it shows you just how detailed people are in doing this, and they're fully clear, cognizant, and are of sound mind when they actually follow up on this particular process. This must make it interesting to evaluate how your institution, together with other players in the insurance industry, then go about your investigations. I'm keen to understand either what the risk mitigation process is from onboarding, and also evaluating any particular fraudulent claims when they do come up.
So it's all really working as a community. You talk about the evaluation. We have to work together not only with the insurance companies, but along with law enforcement, along with the prosecutorial agents, along with legislators with like the FRC or the FFCA. We come together and we are able to use information at our disposal to detect patterns within the frauds. And we'll be able to see, okay, this is happening in an area or this is happening across a specific LSM sector. And then once we've modeled that, we will be able to be in a better position to look for those incidences within certain geographical areas or LSM brackets.
This must be intriguing. So I guess, how do you do it, Garth? It sounds like a silly question, but if you had to spot or identify the next Rosemary before she pops by, what would your institution and colleagues and partners do?
Yeah, so we're looking for individuals that are taking about our high volumes of policies that are not necessarily related to them per se, so if I'm taking out policies on my wife and children, that's a natural progression. If I'm taking out policies on my wife, my children, my cousin, my aunt, my uncle, my grandparents, suddenly that becomes a trend and we will pick up on that trend and then to start to monitor it. Again, unfortunately, for me to take out policies on people where there is an insured interest, so family members, is not illegal. It's where those family members now start to suffer unnatural deaths or even natural deaths in some cases, what is perceived to be natural deaths that we then have to get involved in profiling that case. And yes, it's very interesting. It can be very frustrating at times because we're not always as proactive as we would like. You're more reactive once a person has unfortunately been murdered. But we have to work with these bad actors. You describe Rosemary very well. She's a psychopath. And there's unfortunately a number of people like her that are out there.
I'm so intrigued because there's another complexity to it as well, Garth, that actually speaks to the societal dynamics in South Africa. And for many of us, as Black South Africans or people who live in large communities where you take on the responsibilities of extended family. And this is beyond just Black South Africans as a racial group. It really speaks to anyone, really. Does that also add to the difficulty of actually monitoring the type of cover, the amount of cover, the number of cover that one actually takes on? And it typically then only gets investigated through ongoing claims.
Well, no, 100%. I mean, you've hit the nail on the head. There are historically different groups within South Africa that will take a larger responsibility for their extended family. and especially in rural environments, you know, and it becomes very difficult to manage that information within a rural environment. So you might take out a cover on an individual who you depict as your mother because she raised you, but she's not necessarily your biological mother. So you can see large family groupings that are insured. Again, not out of the ordinary, not illegal, as long as there's that insured interest. Where the problem comes in is, you know, how do you make sure to separate the genuine from the nefarious activity?
And I'm so glad you highlight that, that getting the cover is not the problem, because if there is a life that you'd like to take care of, or aspects that you'd like to protect, that's important. It's actually using or killing essentially the individuals, whether through natural or unnatural causes, for your personal financial gain, that becomes the major issue here. And maybe if we can expand on that, Garth, perhaps we can talk about the quantum and the scope, because for some people we just think, oh, well, 120,000 Rand, is that really big in the grand scheme of things? But I'm hoping you can contextualize not only in terms of industry, the kind of losses and fraudulent activity we've seen or as a whole, but also, I guess, the average claim that people declare for that happens to be a fraudulent claim or one that does involve malfeasance. What are we seeing in terms of numbers and the occurrence here?
Sure. So let's go back to your first statement, and I think that's very important. You know, the insurance industry is there to pay valid claims. We are there to put people back in positions that they were in before they had a loss. And when it comes to funeral policies, it's to give the loved ones the right to bury their past loved one with respect. We spend billions of rands. I think the latest figure was something like 500 billion rand in life insurance claims over the period. So you're talking about billions and billions of rands that are paid out annually for life cover and for funeral policy cover. It's a small percentage of that that is fraudulent. Now, when you talk about a quantum, you know, 50,000 rand in a rural environment might not seem a lot to yourself, to myself. You know, I'm not necessarily going to kill my grandmother for 50 grand. However, for a family where 50,000 Rand is an annual salary and they could survive off that for a whole year, it becomes a totally different story. And there we're seeing, you know, hundreds of millions of Rands of false claims that are going through, where our job is to pick them up and mitigate the risk that it's going to reoccur. So our job is to investigate and mitigate further risk by arresting or having the people arrested in conjunction with law enforcement and prosecuted with the MPA to ensure that they don't share the same streets with us anymore.
100%. I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because it does help us, you know, provide a better understanding. Because as you highlight, essentially insurance is there when you need it to cover the risk of the worst case scenario that could come up as an event in your life, whether of on your assets that you own or even the livelihoods of individuals who are critical to being breadwinners and contributors in their family. Garth, this conversation could go on for days, and we actually, much like we started off this conversation, I commented on the institution that you work for and that you lead and the role and function you play in society. And one of our listeners, Zinzi, shares the same sentiment. She says on WhatsApp, Gugu, Garth's job sounds so interesting. Random and unrelated question, but how does one even get into this kind of industry or job? And I'm keen because, as you've mentioned, you know, as it's very specialized and has a few intricacies, but help us understand, for an institution like yours, looking to build up on talent and even the industry overall in South Africa, what is it that I guess contributes to a successful skills base in your organization?
Sure. Really, the first thing you need is passion, and you need the ability to understand the criminal mind. You know, the criminals do not think like the average person. They have no ethics. They have no moral barometer. So you need to understand that, and you need to understand what disappointment is like, because, you know, sometimes I'm really disappointed in the human race and society in which we live. But once you've gotten over that, it's a fantastic job. It really is about making a difference within our country. And I think that's so important in today's challenges. There are a number of ways of entering. Either you could come in through the normal insurance route and you know, work for an insurance company or financial institution such as a bank. And then there are a number of degrees that you can study. Two come to mind, the Forensics Institutes, the ICFP, so that's the Institute of Forensics Practitioners of South Africa, or the ACFE. Both are very good qualifications which would allow you to become a forensics investigator within South Africa, very well recognized. And that would then equip you with the skills to understand what a criminal syndicate looks like, to understand what a profile of a criminal looks like, and to really give you a bit of a launch pad into some practical experience. We often find that some of the best investigators actually come from law enforcement. So we employ a lot of ex-law enforcement individuals within our organization because they know what crime looks like.
This is so intriguing. Garth, I wish we had you for another hour, but I'm going to sneak in another question that's coming from one of our listeners. Eleanor actually asks, why can't there be a database where unsuspecting consumers can confirm if there is cover in their name or not? Or to get, provide confirmation as to whether this is taken out on their behalf. Does such a platform exist?
Eleanor, you know, that's such a good question, and it's one that I wish I could answer with positivity. Unfortunately, the database of individuals that are insured under funeral policies ranks into the millions and millions of people across hundreds of different providers. It has, to this stage, been impossible to create a central database of that magnitude. Also, you'd be asking people to give us their whole client base to form that database. The legal ramifications around that would be huge to protect them.
Oh, goodness, we lost Garth there for a second, but we'll try just to get him back on the line. Just to finish off that key point that he was mentioning in terms of protecting yourself as a consumer to make sure that should someone take out some kind of long-term insurance cover on you and on your life, you should be aware and how to make sure that you have clarity on that. That was Garth de Klerk, CEO of the Insurance Crime Bureau. We will come back to get some feedback on that. And of course, make sure that you and I are empowered and that no one is just randomly taking out some kind of life insurance out on our lives and maybe have a target on our back. But as you've heard, nothing wrong in terms of getting insurance for your loved ones, especially given the societal structure of South Africa. The problem and the crime element comes in where there's a violent act or an act that is committed essentially to kill this person through natural or unnatural causes, then resulting in you enriching yourself from the benefits there. Garth, we've got you back on the line very briefly. Thank you so much for making it back. The line had cut due to technology.
My apologies on that. It's technology.
Certainly not your fault at all, sir. But I'm hoping that you can finish off the point that you raised around the database, that there is one. However, there are ways we can protect ourselves.
My point is, you know, so to create the database would be almost impossible challenge. To create that type of database and to run the risk of having that database penetrated, as we see via these cyber attacks, etc., would be a massive risk. What we suggest to people is just, you know, be aware, be educated, talk within your communities. You know, if you're hearing about the auntie and the uncle dying of suspicious causes, go talk to your local law enforcement or talk to your local insurance agent. You know, if you see something, say something. But be aware, be educated, be more active in your environment. Often our cases come from societal tips where the society has seen something going on and they've picked up the phone to law enforcement or to ourselves and they've said, look, we're suspicious of these accidents that are happening or something like that. So just be aware. That's the best we can offer.
100%. Okay, so we also just need to be mindful and perhaps also check, especially in terms of identity fraud, right? Maybe that might also be an aspect there to cover.
Correct. You know, around impersonation and identity fraud, there's very little that you can do because your data is already out there. Mm. It's like driving down the road in your vehicle. You know, you have to have your head on a swivel. You cannot blame the vehicle for some criminal trying to take it from you. You just have to accept the reality of living in South Africa. You're living in a very physical environment. We say that in South Africa, fraud is a contact sport. And unfortunately, you really have to ask questions of your neighbors and sometimes even your friends and family.
it's a tough one. Garth, such a pleasure speaking to you and really excited to hear more about the interventions that your institution does work on in the future and hopefully progress that can be made. And the skills base. Wow. I'm already thinking about my auditing days back in varsity and how do I could shift that into forensic auditing. So thanks for
educating. You could have gone a whole different route.
Right? And perhaps I'll try. I still might. I still might. Thank you so much for your time tonight, Garth. Really appreciate you enlightening us. Fantastic.
My pleasure. Stay safe.
Thanks, Garth. That's Garth de Klerk, CEO of the Insurance Crime Bureau. Big takeaway that we need to remember is that in South Africa, of course, many institutions are working together, law enforcement, the insurance providers, and the Insurance Crime Bureau. There's nothing wrong with taking out cover for loved ones. The problem and the criminal impact comes in when you are actually benefiting financially and enriching yourself through the death of loved ones through natural or unnatural causes. That's essentially illegal, unethical as well, and incorrect.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.